Stay tuned now for Theater Guild On the Air, starring James Mason.
United States Steel, USS, the industrial family that serves the nation, presents the Theater Guild On the Air. Our star, James Mason, with Penelope Ward. The play, A Bill of Divorcement, by Clemens Dane. Produced on the air tonight by the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers. Every day, everywhere, you are served by products of steel. In your home, in your business, in your travel. The trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. And now, direct from the stage of the Vanderbilt Theater, the United States Steel Corporation brings you A Bill of Divorcement by Clemens Dane. And here is Roger Pryor speaking for the Theater Guild.
Good evening, everyone. The Theater Guild on the Air is pleased to bring you this evening, in his first radio appearance in America, the outstanding motion picture actor, James Mason, who has just arrived from England. James Mason has won a wide public in America through his excellent performances in such pictures as The Seventh Veil, They Were Sisters, and The Man in Gray. Mr. Mason stars tonight in Clemens Dane's fine drama, A Bill of Divorcement, in the role of Hillary, which was played in the original motion picture by the late John Barrymore. With James Mason is Penelope Ward, currently playing in the Broadway success Lady Windermere's Fan. Tonight, she plays the role of Kit, which first brought to the attention of the American public a virtually unknown actress named Catherine Cornell. In the motion picture, playing the same part, another young actress, Catherine Hepburn, emerged as a star. We raise the curtain now on the first act of Clemens Dane's A Bill of Divorcement, starring James Mason with Penelope Ward. It takes place in England, in a fine old Tudor country house on the outskirts of a quiet village not far from London. It's Christmas morning, back in the early 30s, in that all-too-brief interval between two world wars.
Shall I have Bassett fetch you anything more, Aunt Esther?
I've quite finished my breakfast, Margaret. 10:30. I do think your daughter Catherine could have been down on Christmas, of all mornings, to join us.
Oh, but Auntie, she was out dancing until 3.
A disgraceful hour for a young girl to be dancing.
She was with Ronnie, and he's perfectly all right. I wanted to enjoy herself during the holidays.
You know, Margaret, if anything can make me approve of this coming marriage of yours, it is that your daughter will have a strong hand over her at last. A stepfather's better than nothing. If you can call Gray Meredith that when her own father's still alive.
Oh, Aunt Hester, please, let's not go over that again.
My poor nephew is alive. A fact you persist in ignoring.
Shh. I hear Kit coming now. Let's not be harsh with her, please. Not today. Don't scold her.
Merry Christmas, Mother.
Merry Christmas, Aunt Hester. I'm sorry I overslept.
Merry Christmas, darling. Oh, don't hug me so hard.
Barely time left, Catherine, to get ready for church. The first bell's gone.
I'm all ready, but my hat and coat.
Did you have a good time last night?
Oh, yes. It was the most marvelous party. I never had a better time.
Look at that child, Margaret. How flushed her face is.
Am I, Aunt Hester? Well, perhaps it's because I'm harboring a deep secret.
Secret, darling? From us?
Oh, you might as well know. Prepare yourself. Ronnie and I are engaged.
Kit, you don't mean it.
He proposed last night during supper intermission. How's this for a lovely Christmas present?
A ring?
From Ronnie with love.
Engaged at your age? Preposterous.
Why is it preposterous? Mother was married at my age, weren't you, Mother?
No, I know, dear, but...
You may as well realize now, Aunt Hester, that I'm not going to let you interfere in my affairs the way you have in Mother's.
Young lady, you need to be taught respect for your elders.
I don't mean to be disrespectful. But you know how miserable you've made Mother when she divorced Father.
Oh, Kit, you mustn't.
Well, isn't it true, Mother, isn't it? What else prevented you from marrying Gray?
Father's been mentally ill so terribly long.
Kit, darling, you must control yourself.
That divorce law has been in force for years, Mother, and it's taken you ages to fight down your scruples. I mean Aunt Hester's scruples.
Well, really?
Dear, you quite misunderstand your aunt.
Oh, no, I don't, Mother.
I'm afraid, Margaret, you'll have to go to church without me. I'm thoroughly upset. I know exactly why your daughter behaves so rudely to me. I'm on the wrong side of the family. I'm the only person in this house who seems to remember my poor nephew. I shall read the service by myself in the morning room.
Oh, Kit, how could you?
I'm sorry I made a row. Poor Aunt Hester. But she's why you must get away from here, Mother.
Oh, I hope I'm doing right, marrying Gray against Hester's wishes.
If Father had been dead these 15 years instead of in that asylum, you wouldn't say, I hope I'm doing right.
No.
Well, he is dead, Mother. His mind's dead. You know you've done all you can. He's well taken care of, and you're frightfully in love with Gray.
Never mind me, darling. I want to talk about you and Ronnie.
I only wish Ronnie didn't have two more years in Cambridge. I'd like to be married right off.
Darling, you quite take my breath away.
Oh, we're all right, Mother. Don't worry the least bit about Ronnie and me.
You see, darling, I thought I was in love at your age.
Oh, but I quite know what I'm doing.
I thought I did, too. It was the war.
How could war make you get married if you didn't want to?
Well, Hillary, your father, he was going out to the trenches, perhaps to be hurt. And he was so very fond of me. I was dreadfully sorry for him.
I really don't understand, Mother. It seems to me either you care or you don't.
Oh, but don't you see, darling? I confused pity with love. And then when he came back hopelessly shell-shocked and they took him away...
Poor Mother. But for me it's so beautifully simple. I know I love Ronnie. And all I want is to look after him and a home of our own and... Oh, at least half a dozen babies.
Kit, dear.
Oh, Ron is as keen as I am on eugenics. He's doing a paper for his debating society.
I must say I found you quite enough to manage.
Was I so difficult, Mother? You've always told me I'm like my father. I wish I could have known him.
You have his manner. You're so impatient, so quick-tempered.
I'm sorry, Mother. Forgive me. It's cold in here. I'm going to take my coffee in the living room by the fire. And you'd better go and spruce up a bit for church, my lady.
Oh, yes, I must.
Gray will be along any minute, and I want you to look your loveliest for him, Mother, darling. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. For Christ the royal master was born on Christmas Day.
Merry Christmas, Kit.
I didn't hear your car come up the drive.
How could you with all that caroling? How pretty you look. Where's your mother, Kit?
She'll be down in a moment. Come over by the fire and get warm.
Good idea. Quite nippy out. Nothing like a good fire to add to the Christmas cheer.
You know, Gray, I'll be so glad when you and Mother are safely married next week.
Will you, Kit?
Not only because you're going to be a nice, comforting father to have, Gray, but it's such a job running, Mother.
Oh?
She's sweet and helpless, but she's obstinate, too. My word, the time she took making up her mind to get the divorce. I've had to be family lawyer and Juliet's nurse rolled into one and a sort of lightning conductor for Aunt Hester into the bargain.
I know I could never have convinced Margaret without your help, Kit.
Oh, good morning, Gray.
Margaret.
Kit, dear, would you go into the morning room and help Aunt Hester? It seems someone is trying to get us on the telephone and she can't manage it.
Certainly, Mother.
Try not to be late for church, dear.
Not likely when I'm meeting Ronnie.
Aren't you going with us, Kit?
No, you go ahead without me. I want to walk anyway.
Merry Christmas, Gray.
And a happy new year, Margaret.
Oh, this year it will be, Gray. It will be.
Bless you.
Listen. Don't you love them? The church bells? Next week they'll be our wedding bells. Those very same bells.
May I tell you you're quite adorable and that I love you very much?
Put your arms around me a moment, darling.
With all my heart.
Oh, Gray. With you, I feel so secure. As if nothing evil or ugly could ever touch me. Gray, is 35 very old?
Prime of life, I'd say.
We've time for everything still, haven't we?
Time for everything except church. We'd better be on our way. Here, let me hold your coat for you, Meg.
Please, don't call me Meg. You never have before.
But don't you see, dearest? I want a name for you no one else uses.
Yes, yes, that no one else has ever used, Gray. Not Meg, then.
I see. I'm sorry.
Make a name of your own for me.
Well, you're getting my name pretty soon, old girl.
Yes. New year, new name, new life. Gray, Don't laugh. But I want to kneel down at the altar and say humble and hearty thanks. I'm happy. Happy for the first time in my life, I believe.
I'm glad, Margaret. You haven't had so much of happiness, have you, my darling?
There's that call again, Catherine. Answer it. I simply cannot manage these long-distance calls with my impaired hearing.
Yes? All right, operator, I'll hold on. Yes? No, this is Miss Catherine Fairfield, her daughter speaking. What is it? Oh. Auntie, it's from Bedford. There must be something about Father.
Your father?
Yes? What? Talk a little louder, please.
It's about Hillary. Oh, dear, it's probably something dreadful.
Please, Aunt Hester, I can't hear. I see. No. No, we've heard nothing. When did you find out? I see. No, he's not here. Of course we'll let you know. Then you'll ring us at once if anything... Yes. Thank you.
Well, what is it?
Father's disappeared from Bedford.
When? When did they miss him?
This morning. Only this morning.
It's disgraceful carelessness on the part of that institution. Utterly disgraceful.
They think he suddenly regained his sanity. Is that possible, Aunt Hester? Can that happen?
It's quite possible.
But the doctor said Father was incurable.
The Almighty is greater than the doctor's. It was the same as my poor sister Grace. After 10 years,
Aunt
that
Grace!
Was
she? But nobody ever told me that.
Oh, some things are better not talked about.
Was Aunt Grace?
She never had to be sent away.
Do you mean that in our family there's insanity?
We're nervous, all of us. We Fairfields, we're nervous and high-strung.
Then with Father, it wasn't shell-shock?
They said his condition was brought on by shell-shock.
Did Mother know when she married?
I don't know.
Did Father?
Well, one always knows in a general sort of way.
Am I nervous?
Young people don't have nerves.
Insanity. A thing you can hand on to your children. And I told Ronnie it was shell-shock. He thinks it was shell-shock.
Our family affairs are no concern of Ronald.
No concern? We're marrying, don't you understand? Ronnie and I are marrying.
I've already expressed myself regarding that.
Aunt Hester. Suppose Father really gets well, whatever will he do?
It's a question of what your mother will do. Now, I refuse to discuss it with you any further, Catherine.
But why not?
You're too young.
He has the trouble. He has a ghost in the house, and you say you can't discuss it with me? Oh, why are you old people such stone walls?
Catherine, for the second time this morning, you have driven me out of the room.
I'm so sorry, but I'm so worried. Don't you see, Aunt Hester? I've got to think of what will happen to Mother and Ronnie. What can I say to Ronnie?
Will that be enough coals for the fire now, Miss Catherine?
Yes, thank you, Bessie.
Excuse me, miss, but you look ill. Is that why you didn't go to church? Is anything wrong?
No, it's nothing, Bessie.
Now you just lie there and rest for a bit.
I believe I will. Will you draw the curtains?
Certainly, miss. Oh, there's a strange man coming on the veranda. Why, miss, he's walked right in the front door.
It's all right, Bessie. Please go, won't you, quickly?
Why, yes, miss, of course.
If you say so. Were you looking for someone?
Meg. It's Meg. Oh, my own darling.
I'm not Meg.
Tell me I don't know Meg. No, it's not. I beg your pardon. I thought you were another girl. I've been away for so long. Who are you?
I think I'm your daughter.
Daughter? Daughter? My wife isn't my wife. She's my daughter. Yes, of course. It's years and years. It's a lifetime. It's my daughter's lifetime. What's your name, daughter?
Catherine.
Catherine. Catherine, eh? My mother was Catherine.
Yes. But nearly everyone calls me Kit.
Kit. I like that. It has a friendly sound.
I'm glad you like it.
I suppose we're somewhat of a surprise to each other, Kit.
No, I rather expected you. But I'm afraid that Mother...
Where's Margaret? Tell me.
At Christmas service in Phillips.
Church? Oh, of course it's Christmas. I've forgotten. I might go and meet her, don't you think?
Oh, I wouldn't. Come, sit down and wait for her. We can talk.
Very well. I say, isn't this amazing? You and I meeting for the first time.
It makes me want to cry.
Why? That's all over. Laugh, laugh. That's the thing to do. I say, is your mother such a darling still?
Look here, Father.
Father? Father. Well.
We've got to talk. We've got to get things straightened out before Mother gets back.
Back soon, eh? Why's Meg move the big clock? It was much better where we put it. She's late, isn't she? I really think I'll go and meet
her. No, you're to stay here. Can't you realize the shock? The surprise it'll be to her.
Never knew anyone die of joy.
Yet. I'll not have you frighten her.
Frighten her? What do you mean? I'll do as I like.
Father, you don't understand. You and Mother are... I won't let you.
I tell you I'll not be hectored. I won't stand it. I've had enough. Did you hear? I won't stand it.
If you talk to Mother like this...
Yes. Yes. Meg might not understand.
But I understand.
I believe you do. You got wild all in a moment. That's my way, too. It means nothing. Meg can't see that it means nothing. But it makes a man wild, you know, to be bullied when he's sane. I am sane. That's all over. I am sane. Do you hear?
Father, try to be calm.
Yes, that's right, Kit. Don't let me get that way again. It's bad. Help me to go slow. I'm as well as you are, you know, but it's new. It only happened today. Like a curtain lifting. Like a light coming into the dark to guide me.
How did you get away, Father?
Led. Like Peter out of prison. I went through the gate. Openly. Their eyes were blinded. Pure luck, you know. There were visitors going out, and I nipped along with them, talking. No one spotted me. I wouldn't have believed it possible. Heaps of us, of them, I mean, have tried, you know. Makes me laugh to think of those guards.
Oh, Father, please go into the library, Father. There's Mother coming now.
I'll meet her.
No, please, Father, go into the library.
Why should I run away?
Oh, don't you understand? You must let me see
no,
her
No, I'm
first.
Staying where I am.
Kitty, why weren't you at the first?
Meg? Meg, I've come home.
But they said...
I'm well, Meg. I tell you, it came over me like a lantern flash, like a face of God turning toward me. I was never like the rest of them. I was sane always, but the face was turned away. You don't say a word. One would think you weren't glad to see me. Aren't you glad, Meg?
Of course I'm glad. You poor Hillary.
If you know what it's like to say to myself, I'm at home. Home again. That miserable place.
They didn't mistreat you.
No, if it's been heaven, what difference does it make? I was a dead man. Do you know what the dead do in heaven? They sit in their golden chairs and sicken for home. Why did you never come?
I came as long as they let me.
I wanted you so much.
But you didn't know me, Hillary.
My voice didn't, my speech and my actions didn't, but I knew you, Meg. Behind the dreams, the noises, behind the curtain of mist, I was sane always. Only I used to see a black hand reaching up through the floor, through the widening crack of the floor, to catch me by the ankle and drag me down into that black abyss.
Tell her.
It's all right, Mother.
Yes, that's it, kids. You tell your mother. I'm all right, Meg. You understand that, don't you? Once it was a real hand, but now I know it doesn't exist. I tell you, Meg, I'm well. You must take my word for that. Come closer to me, Meg.
No, no, please, Hillary.
Meg.
Not now. Later, Hillary, later.
Listen, Father, there's the luncheon bell. Don't you want to go and tidy up?
You're staying.
Staying? That's a good joke, isn't it? Of course I'm staying. I say, listen to me. I'm learning to laugh again. It's blessed to laugh. Staying to lunch? Yes, Meg. Luncheon and tea and supper and breakfast, thank God, and for many a long, long day.
You are listening to A Bill of Divorcement by Clemens Dane, produced by the Theatre Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And back again with us, speaking for United States Steel, is George Hicks.
Good evening. 2 minutes ago, some 1,400 outstanding young men and women from 15 to 21 years old filed proudly out of Chicago's huge orchestra hall as the first day of the 25th annual National 4-H Club Congress came to an end. These 1,400 youthful delegates are the cream of the 4-H Club's total membership of nearly 1.75 million. They come from farms in every one of our 48 states, Hawaii, Alaska, and Canada. And they were chosen as delegates for their outstanding proficiency in handling work projects which each of them individually owns and conducts, and which are sponsored in most cases by American industry. Some of these project winners raised prize livestock or poultry. Some grew superior farm produce. Others were especially successful in homemaking and the domestic arts. Still others demonstrated their expertness in the handling and care of modern farm equipment and machinery. But whatever their projects, all of them prove how important the 4-H clubs are in building a firm foundation for better citizenship as well as more productive farming. Yes, these project winners are shining examples of the spirit epitomized in the 4-H Club's famous pledge.
I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living, for my club, my community, and my country.
We of the United States Steel Corporation think that's a mighty good pledge for every American, whatever his age, and whether he lives on a farm, in a small town, or in a big city. And as a corporation, we're proud of the fact that so many of America's 4-H Club members, as well as America's farmers of all ages, are able to do their work better, easier, and in less time because of the improved steels and products of steel developed in our laboratories and produced in our mills and plants, especially for use on American farms. That's why the 275,000 men and women who make up the family of U.S. steel workers consider it the privilege of a partner to salute all 4-H Club members all over the nation for their splendid achievements. We know that in the future, as in the past, they will continue to work with head, heart, hands, and health to serve their clubs, their communities, and their nation.
We pause now for station identification.
You are listening to KECA Los Angeles.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
And now the curtain rises on the second act of A Bill of Divorcement by Clements Dane, adapted for radio by Kenyon Nicholson and starring James Mason as Hillary with Penelope Ward as Kit.
Good afternoon, Bassett. Where's everybody?
The family's still at table, sir.
Still at luncheon? They're late.
It's the visitor, sir. He's kept them talking.
Visitor?
Yes, sir. A strange gentleman. Well, if you'll excuse me, I'm to inform Mrs. Fairfield the moment you arrive.
A strange gentleman?
I'll go and fetch the mistress, sir. Oh, I was just coming, madam.
Just telling you, Bassett, you may go.
Yes, ma'am.
I came as soon as I got your message, Margaret. What is it?
I've got to talk to you quickly, Gray, before the others come in from the dining room. Gray, Hillary's come back.
Hillary?
He left that place. He came straight here.
Good Lord, how terrible. You've notified the authorities, of course.
Oh, no, Gray, I couldn't.
It's the only thing to do.
I know, but...
But there's only one way to deal with an escaped lunatic.
You don't understand. He's well. He knows me.
He's sane? I can't believe it.
Do you think I want to believe... Oh, what a ghastly thing for me to say. My own husband.
Have you phoned Dr. Elliot?
Kit's called him.
Kit's got a head on his shoulders.
But I tell you, Gray, he's well. His hair's almost white, but he talks as he talked at 20. The same voice, the same ways.
It's horrible.
He thinks it's all as he left it. Oh, if I only knew how to tell him about the divorce, about you and me.
You've said nothing yet.
I couldn't. He's like a lost child come home, Gray. Do you think I want him to go out of his mind again?
Obvious. There's only one thing to do. take you away at once, Margaret. We'll go straight up to London. You simply can't stay here. The situation is intolerable.
I've got to do what's right. I've got to think of Hillary.
You've got to think of us.
Oh, I know, but Gray has to be told. I can't just run away.
Then let me tell him.
Oh, no, that would be too cruel. Can't you feel it'll hurt him less from me?
Then do it at once. It's no good to postpone it. Can't you see, Margaret, what it does to me to know that you're in the same house with him?
I want to leave. You know I want to, but I mustn't. I mustn't. I told you our happiness was too good to be true.
Margaret, Margaret.
It's too late. I shall never get away from him, never.
Margaret, please get hold of yourself. Now listen to me. I'm taking you away today. There are some matters I must attend to first before we motor up to town. Margaret, are you listening to me?
Yes.
While I'm gone, tell him the truth, if you must. Promise me you'll be ready to come with me. It'll only be an hour.
If I've managed.
There can be no if. Look here, Margaret, you've got to. For both our sakes. Now, give me your word you'll be ready when I return. Give me your word.
Yes, Gray. You're right. I'll tell him. I'll be ready.
Oh, Meg, my dear. This room, the holly, the crackle of the fire, the warmth. This is reality. And the snow outside like a veil of peace.
Hillary,
it's like coming home out of a ghastly nightmare. Now the horror's fading away. Soon all the dark corners will be flooded with light. Come and sit here by me, Meg. You've changed, you know.
Changed?
Taller, more beautiful. You've grown up. Away beyond me.
Have I?
But I'm going to catch up. You wait and see. You'll help me to catch up with you. Won't you help me, Meg? Why don't you hold out your hands to me?
I can't, Hillary.
I miss something in you, Meg. Something you used to have. Something kind, that's it. A kind way with you. Our child got it. Kit, my daughter, Kit. She's more you than you are. But she'll be leaving us in no time. She's already told me about the boy. What's his name? Ronnie. Good thing you'll have me.
Hillary, things aren't as they were.
What are you trying to tell me? Why do you flinch when I speak? Yes, and when I kissed you, it was so cold. Margaret, is there someone else? Answer me.
There is someone.
No. Is that true? You?
It's not what you think. There's been nothing wrong.
I suppose 15 years is a long time for a woman to be faithful. Do you hear what I said?
If I'd loved you, it wouldn't have been long.
If you'd loved me? You did love me.
Did I? I don't know.
Who is this man? Do I know him?
No, Hillary, you don't. I met him 5 years ago. You've been ill so long.
What do you expect me to do? Forgive you?
There's nothing to forgive, not as you mean it.
Divorce you then, because I'll not do that.
You must listen.
I can endure anything but that.
Hillary, I divorced you 12 months ago.
What? What? You divorced me?
It's true.
But you couldn't do it. You'd no cause. Do you think I'm going to put up with your lies? Oh, I see what you're at. You want to confuse me. You want to drive me off my head, drive me mad again. Well, you shan't do it. I've got friends. Kit! Hester! Come here, both of you! Come here!
Father, what is it?
Oh, help me, Kit, help me.
What are you doing to Mother? You frightened
me. No, you're not on her side. You're my little daughter, my kind little girl.
Hillary, why did you call?
Why was I calling you? I've got a riddle for you, Hester. There was a man at that place. Used to ask riddles. He didn't find the answers. He couldn't find them. Sent them off his head. But I'm wiser than he was. I know the answers. Do you know what? Do you want to hear my riddle? When is a wife not a wife?
Father! Margaret! What have you done to him?
I've told him the truth.
She poured poison into my ear. You remember the fellow in the play and his wife? She poisoned me. That's what she's done. She wants to be rid of me. There's someone else, you see. I'm in the way. So she comes to me and she tells me... What do you think she tells me? She says she's not my wife. Now, am I mad or is she?
Hillary, I've tried to show Margaret where her duty lay, but she wouldn't listen.
She wouldn't listen to you, eh? But you'll may talk to her now, won't you? Hester, you'll make her see. And you, Kit, you'll help me.
Father, you're shaking. Come with me and rest. You promised me you'd go slow.
Go slow. Yes. Yes, Kit, I'll come with you. I'm suddenly tired.
Kit, it's my fault.
Don't talk anymore now, Mother. It's better. Come, Father, I'll take you upstairs.
Yes, Kit, I'm coming with you. I'm tired. So tired.
Why did you dare upset him like that?
He had to know.
Why should he? There's no need now.
What do you mean?
Hillary's return has been like a judgment.
He's come back in time to save you from the brink of deadly sin.
No, no, I'm free.
You're not free. You never were.
Knowing his history, is it possible that you expect me to go back to him?
A wife's duty.
No, it's wicked. I've got my divorce. I'm going to marry Gray Meredith at once. We're driving up to London tonight. You can't stop me. Nobody can.
Just lie back on the pillow, Father, and close your eyes.
Put your hand on my forehead, kid.
Is that better?
It's so soft. So cool.
Come in.
I was told I'd find you two up here in the bedroom. No, no, don't say anything, kid. See if your father remembers me.
Why, it's old Elliot. Isn't it?
Good. Your memory's all right, I see. Welcome back, Hillary.
Well, I certainly don't need you, Doctor. I'm well. But now that you're here, stay, sit down.
Thank you.
I suppose they sent for you.
Well, you see, you arrived rather unconventionally. I've been in touch with the...
With the Bedford authorities, I suppose.
Why, yes, you may have to go back, you know. Formalities.
I don't mind. I'm well, Elliot. I'm not afraid of what you'll say. I'm not afraid of any of you doctors.
That sounds hopeful.
But I can't leave here now, Elliot.
Well, it would be only for a day or two.
You see, it's my wife. She's the one that's ill. Isn't that right, Kit? Margaret's the one that's behaving strangely.
Mm. Suppose you tell me about it.
Ah. You think that's a delusion of mine, do you?
Between you and me, it's a common one.
But look here, she says she's not my wife. Can you say that's sane?
Dr. Elliot, Mother and I have tried to explain to Father. Perhaps you...
There's nothing to explain. I married Meg. I fell ill. Now I'm well again. I want my wife.
Yes.
I suppose that's what you call humoring a lunatic.
I hope to be convinced, Hillary, that trouble's over.
But she's going to lock me up again just because I want my wife.
Will you let me put the case to you?
You can put 50 cases. It makes no difference.
Father, listen. You must.
Eh? You too, Kit?
No.
You're not against me?
Nobody's against you, Father. Only please listen to what Dr. Elliot has to tell you.
Very well. Go on then, Elliot. Out with it.
Well, Hillary, you know, of course, for years there's been agitation against the marriage laws in this country. But nothing was done until after the war, until 1928. Then the younger generation, your generation, Hillary, not mine, realized out of their own unhappiness... We outgrown the old marriage laws. New ones took their place.
What are you trying to say, Elliot?
Now, no man or woman is bound to a drunkard, an habitual criminal, or to a partner who, as far as we doctors know, is insane. I'm sorry to put it so bluntly. Remember, Hillary, that thousands of tragedies must have had a voice in the outcry that brought about this change.
And the law now says...
A divorcement can be obtained after 5 years of proven insanity.
And you call that justice?
At least it's common sense. If a man can't live a normal life, it's as if he were dead. If he's an incurable drunkard, if he's shut away for life in prison...
But I'm not a drunkard, I'm not a convict, I'm no longer insane. I've been to the war from 1914 to 1918 to fight for my wife, for all of you, for my country. What do I get for it? Not honorable scars, not medals and glory, but 15 years in hell. Now that I'm out again, the country that I fight for... The laws I fight for, the woman I fight for, when they say to me, as you've done without her for 15 years, you can do without her altogether.
And I admit it's hard.
That's good of you, and that's sympathy indeed. And my wife, she's full of it too, isn't she? Poor dear, I was married to him once. I'd quite forgotten.
Face it, men. One of you must suffer. Which is it to be? The useful or the useless? The whole or the maimed? The healthy woman with her life before her? Or the man whose children ought never to have been born.
Elliot.
Is that true, Dr. Elliot? Is that true? I ought never to have been born.
Oh, forgive me, Kit. I didn't realize. I am sorry.
Please don't apologize. It's quite all right. I just hadn't fully realized.
I'd forgotten you were there.
It's quite all right. I said I understand. As long as you're here with Father, I'll go. I'm sorry to be so utterly silly.
Elliot, you blundering fool! You blundering fool!
I'd forgotten Kit was listening. It was stupid.
Well, why didn't you tonight? Why didn't you spare that torment?
There's no denial, Hillary. You know as well as I do. Unfortunately, it's true.
Margaret, are you alone?
Yes, Hillary.
May I talk to you?
What is it you want?
Don't be frightened. I've come to say goodbye, Margaret.
Goodbye?
I'm going. I must, I see that. I see quite clearly now. The dead have no right to come back. They only hurt the living. I'd be a constant reminder to Kit. Now, I've got to go. He's made me see that.
Dr. Elliot?
I'm going to stay with him till I can look around. He's going to make it all right with that place.
I'm glad you've got a good friend, Hilary.
Yes, he's a good friend. He talked patiently to me. He made me see. He says, and I do see, it's too late, of course. Isn't it? Yes, it's too late. It wouldn't be fair to ask you. Would it?
Oh, Hilary.
No woman could be expected. You couldn't be expected, could you? It's what he says. You've made a new life for yourself, haven't you? There's no room in it for me. Is there? So it's just a case of saying goodbye and going because I quite see there's no chance. Oh, Meg, 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 on my knees, I beg you, isn't there just a chance?
Hilary, please, I can't stand it.
What have I done? Did I ever hurt you? Didn't I love you? Didn't you love me? Could I help being ill? What have I done?
Don't.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Why don't you listen to me? Listen to me. I've been alone for so long.
I don't love you, Hilary.
But it's me you married, Meg. You promised. You promised for better or worse, in sickness, in health. You can't go back on your promise. You don't know what misery means. You couldn't leave me to it if you knew. Why, I've never known you to hurt a creature in all your life. Then how can you hurt me so? You can't have changed that much.
You knew me half my life ago.
No, it's only yesterday. Only yesterday. Have pity on me.
Hilary, don't.
You can't abandon me. You can't drive me out alone. You can't do it, Meg. You can't do it. You can't. You can't.
No. I suppose I can't.
Oh, God bless you, Meg. God bless you. God bless you.
You are listening to A Bill of Divorcement by Clemens Dane. Adapted for radio by Kenyon Nicholson. Produced by the Theatre Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here speaking for United States Steel is George Hicks.
During the past few months, various members of the United States Steel family have held open house and invited the public to come and visit. The invitations have gone out in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Indiana so far. And tens of thousands of people have accepted. Formal dress is not required, but walking shoes are recommended because you have to walk quite a way to see even a few of the many processes necessary to make steel and steel products. For instance, just one mill making steel sheets may be a mile long. I know very few sights that are more interesting or more exciting than a steel mill in operation. It's really something to see. The towering blast furnaces which turn ore into molten iron, the seething open hearths which refine iron into steel, the giant cranes, the massive rolling mills which can take an ingot the size of a car and with amazing dexterity turn it into heavy rails or sheets as thin as paper in a few minutes, they're all fascinating. These tremendous rolling mills, for instance, are unbelievably powerful, compressing cold steel as easily as you squeeze an orange, and yet they're so carefully controlled that their work is measured in thousandths of an inch. These machines make possible our modern age of steel, and every single one of them is in itself a symbol of the system which has built our country. The ingenious machines which produce things used by everyone are operated by highly skilled workers, and the machines themselves are provided by the stockholders of the company. The combination of the skilled worker, the wise investor, and the ingenious machine is largely responsible for the greatness of this nation today. And that is why United States Steel plants have been holding open house. They want you to see that combination in action. They want you to see the skilled workers and the great machines producing for us all in modern plants provided by stockholders from almost every town in America. The open house is an invitation into one of the busy homes of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation.
And now the curtain rises on the third act of A Bill of Divorcement, starring James Mason as Hillary, with Penelope Ward as Kit.
Are you all right?
Yes. Come in, Kit. Shut the door, will you, dear?
How white you look, Mother.
When Gray comes back, I want you to give him this note.
Give Gray a note? Why?
Because I don't want to see him.
Oh, you mean until after Father leaves?
Your father's not leaving.
But I thought he... Dr. Elliot said it was all settled.
It is all settled.
Oh, no, Mother, you haven't let Gray down.
There's no other way. I can't talk about it. Just give Gray this note.
But Gray's counting on you. You and he belong together.
I'm no longer free to make a choice, Kit. I don't know now why I ever believed I was.
But, Mother, you told me you didn't really love Father even when you were young. And now, oh, it's unthinkable. Why, it wouldn't mean happiness for either of you.
Love and happiness have nothing to do with it.
Where is Father?
I left him sitting in his chair before the fire, smoking his pipe, just as he used to do before the war. Before you were born, Kit.
Before I was born.
For him, it's just as if all those years had never been.
But what about you, Mother? What about your life?
Would you go now, Kit? I'm very tired. And, Kit, when Gray comes, don't let your father see him or hear you talking to him. Just give Gray my note like a good child. That'll make it easier for me, dear.
Father.
Oh, Kit. You startled me. I think I must have dozed off.
I've just come from Mother.
You know, then. Meg's told you, hasn't she? I'm not going. I'm staying here with Meg.
But, Father...
You needn't look so worried. I'll not be in her way. I'll not frighten her, I promise you. Just to be near her. To hear the sound of her voice. Her voice. It's not like it used to be. It's cold, you know. It's full of pity. Now, I hate pity. But she'll change, won't she, Kit? She'll change when she sees how much I love her, how much she means to me.
But, Father, dear, don't you realize Mother doesn't...
Why do you hesitate? Doesn't love me, that's what you're afraid to say, isn't it? Well, don't be afraid. Margaret said it. She said she loves someone else. But I won't let her go, do you hear? No one else should have her. If that man tries to take her from me, I'll kill him.
Father, please, please.
Oh, yes, 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 yes. I must get control. Mustn't I, daughter? Forgive me, dear.
What can I do to help you?
Help me? You want to help me? I believe you really mean that.
I do.
You're not afraid of me, are you? You don't draw away from me when I lose my temper.
No, Father.
I've been so alone. No one to understand me, no one to hear my heart cry out.
Try not to think about that.
No, no. I'm home now. I have a wife. I have a daughter. Beautiful, full-grown daughter. Let me look at you, daughter. Yes, yes, you're mine. Why, you don't look like Meg at all. You look just as my sister Grace looks.
Aunt Grace! Oh, Father, only this morning Aunt Hester said that she was ill the way you
were. Hester talks too much. Grace was perfectly all right later on. I'd have been all right, too, if it hadn't been for the war. I couldn't bear the killing, the noise, the horror.
Excuse me, Mr. Ronnie calling to see Miss Chester.
Ronnie. Tell him to wait in the library, Bassett.
Yes, miss.
Ronnie. It's your young man, isn't it, daughter? Is he a fine young man, worthy of you?
He's a very nice young man, Father.
And you're going to marry this Ronnie?
I thought so last night.
Only thought so?
Things sometimes look different by daylight, Father. I must go to Ronnie now.
Sorry you didn't make it to church this morning, kid. I hardly heard a word of Father's sermon. Kept craning my neck for you. Whatever happened?
I just couldn't get away, Ronnie.
Didn't have a headache from too much champagne last night, did you?
No, I didn't have a headache.
Oh, seriously, Kit, dear, I didn't sleep a wink last night. I was so gloriously happy about it. Didn't you feel the same? Oh, I say, did you tell your mother? I almost messed things up at home. Dad was quite keen about my news until I said something, by chance, about your father.
My father?
Yes, you see, our being new here, my father had the notion all along your mother was a widow. Well, you know how the church looks on divorce. Oh, but I patched it up all right, explained it was shell shock from the war, absolutely incurable and all that. I say, you look awfully upset. Is anything wrong? Did I say something I shouldn't? Why are you so strange today, Kit?
Oh, for heaven's sake, stop questioning me.
Well, you needn't snap out at a chap, you know. I never saw you so nervous.
Nervous?
You fizz up like a sedlitz powder all about nothing.
I'm sorry.
Oh, let's not quarrel. That's no way to spend Christmas afternoon.
It isn't much of a way, is it?
Mind if I turn on the wireless? Might brighten you up a little.
I have been a beast to you, Ronnie. Forgive me.
Oh, you know I do, darling.
I do want to talk to you, Ronnie. Ronnie, about your eugenics paper.
Yes?
I read somewhere. Suppose now, is it true it can skip a generation?
It? You mean inheritable weaknesses?
Yes, illness. Well, say insanity. Suppose you, for instance, say your father or mother were ill and you weren't. You were perfectly fit, you understand, perfectly fit.
Well?
What about children?
There's always the chance it would be passed on.
It would be very wrong, wouldn't it, to children?
Rather.
It's hard on people.
Rotten. I've an uncle had that problem to face. Girl he was going to marry had a sister go insane.
Yes, what did they do?
Do? Why, they never married, of course, but they're great friends still.
How terrible for them. Why did she go on being friends with him? It wasn't fair. It stopped him from marrying anyone else. She oughtn't to have let him.
Can't stop a person being fond of you.
If a girl finds out it's wrong for her to marry a man, it's up to her to choke him off.
No, couldn't be done. Any man would see through it.
As if any man ever saw through anything. As if I couldn't choke you off in 5 minutes if I wanted to.
Oh, my dear girl, we're not all fools where women are concerned.
Shut that thing off!
But, Kit, it's such a pretty tune.
Stop it, I say. I can't stand it.
Here, my sweet, you are in a state. Let me sit here beside you. Why, your hands are like ice.
Don't touch me.
Why not?
I hate being pawed, that's all. I won't have it, do you hear?
Well, if it can't be a bit more pleasant, I'm going to leave.
Oh, other arms are waiting.
Just like you're talking like that, Kit. It's cheap.
Is it? Anyhow, you got out of answering my question quite neatly.
If you're thinking of Alice Hewitt, I've only seen her 4 times.
Oh, so her name's Alice.
Didn't you know?
Never heard of her till this minute.
Oh, Alice doesn't mean a blessed thing to me. Surely you believe that?
What if I don't?
Look here, marriage has got to be a sort of mutual show, hasn't it? Confidence and all that.
Do you preach that sort of rot to Alice?
Kit, it's simply insulting.
Too bad I should go and complain to Alice if I were you.
If you're not careful, I will.
I should go. I should go now. Strike while the iron's hot.
Oh, really, Kit, you're mad.
Yes. I suppose that is the right word to fling at me.
Oh, you're twisting everything I say, Kit. You're not at all yourself this afternoon.
Maybe I am myself.
But we don't hit it off on anything.
Don't we? Perhaps we never could, Ronnie.
Well, listen, I don't like this sort of talk. I'd better go and come back when you're more reasonable.
Oh, I should. If I were you, I should go. I should go and tell Alice all my troubles.
Very well, I will. That's the way you feel about it.
Ronnie.
Yes, Kit.
You'll give Alice my love, won't you?
Goodbye. I'm not coming back again until you apologize. I mean it.
Yes, that's it. That's just how it will be. You'll give her my love. Oh, Ronnie. Ronnie. Ronnie.
But you're not ready. Why aren't you dressed?
Gray, didn't Kit give you my note?
Note? No, she just said I'd find you up here in the sitting room. Why should you write me a note?
Because I couldn't manage, Gray. I'm not going with you.
You can't mean what you're saying.
I had to tell Hillary I'd stay. He cried, Gray. I couldn't bear it.
I should never have let you talk to him.
Hester was right. I wasn't free to love you, ever.
If I thought for one moment you loved him, that he could make you happy, that...
You know what it means to dread a person who loves you. To stiffen at the look in their eyes. To pity, to shudder.
Then why...
Oh, he's so pathetically defenseless. I can't see such pain.
And you think I can't suffer?
I've got to put Hillary first, because he's weak, ill. You're strong. Oh, Gray, if Hillary's left alone, he'll go mad again, I'm sure of it.
You're not denying me, Margaret, but life.
May I come in?
Kit, why didn't you give Gray my note?
I hated to disobey you, but I couldn't let you send him away without even seeing him.
You've only made it much harder for me. I tell you, there's no way out.
Oh, but there is. For you, there is, Mother. I've thought it all along, and now I know. Your place is with Gray, Mother. I'll take care of Father.
You, Kit?
Do you think I'd sacrifice my own child?
I'm his child. Mother, Mother, darling, don't you see? I'd be better for him than you. I'm his own flesh and blood. I understand him.
Kit, you shan't bear my burden.
Don't be sorry, Mother. Be glad for me. Be glad I'm needed somewhere.
But Ronnie, Kit, what about Ronnie?
Oh, he'll get over it. Bless him. I'll be dancing at his wedding in 6 months.
But you, darling...
Oh, I'm off getting married. I'm going to have a career.
But why, Kit? You ought to have love, children. It isn't fair.
No children for me, Mother. I haven't the right. It would be wicked for them. Our family, Father, Aunt Grace. Now do you understand, Mother?
Kit. Oh, Gray, what will I do? My darling. My poor darling.
Don't say anything more, Mother. Go away with Gray. Go away quickly. I've made up my mind, and nothing you can say could ever change it. Father is my job, not yours. Would you like another cup of tea, Father?
No, thank you, Kit.
Aunt Hester?
Thank you, no, Catherine.
Do you mind if I turn on the lights? It seems so dark in here.
She's gone. My wife's gone.
Poor Hillary. What is there left for you?
Nothing. Everything's gone.
There's me, Father. I'm not gone.
Don't count on her, Hillary. She's already planning to be married.
No, I'm not. That's done with.
Done with? You mean you've jilted Ronnie already?
Yes.
You hear her, Hillary? Like mother, like daughter. A parson's son wasn't good enough for you, I suppose. She's like the rest of the young women nowadays, Hillary. Hard as nails.
You don't believe that, Father, do you?
You'll see, Hillary. They're all the same. If you'll excuse me, I'll go to my room now. This day's been too much for me. Good night, Hillary.
Good night, Hester.
Do you think I'm hard, Father?
No. But if what you said is true, I should imagine your Ronnie thinks you are. Why, you're crying.
No, I'm not.
You did love him. Then why?
Because we're in the same boat, Father.
Surely you don't think...
You heard what Dr. Elliot said about heredity. I'm afraid most doctors agree with him.
Oh, my dear. My dear. I should think you would hate me.
I need you as badly as you need me.
You deliberately sent him away. You helped Meg to go, too, didn't you?
Yes. I hope someday you'll be able to forgive me, Father.
Forgive you? You've had the courage I lacked.
We'll make a job of it yet, Father. There are other things in the world besides marriage. We can travel. Think of all the beautiful places in the world to go. The interesting things to do. Did you know you've got a clever daughter? I write a little, paint a little.
Do you, Kit? Why, I did, too.
You see, Father dear, we'll create. Perhaps you will write a beautiful poem and I may paint a masterpiece. We'll be happy. A thing of beauty is a joy forever. Its loveliness increases.
Endymion, isn't it?
Father, do you love Keats?
I used to. Let's see. In that same poem, he says, "Yes, in spite of all, some shape of beauty moves away the pall from our dark spirits."
That's it. Oh, don't you see, Father, how that fits us?
Yes, I think I do, Kit. Yes! Some shape of beauty moves away the pall from our dark spirits.
The curtain has fallen on the Theatre Guild's radio production of A Bill of Divorcement by Clemens Dane, starring James Mason as Hillary, with Penelope Ward as Kit. Gray was played by Romney Brent, Margaret by Jean Wetmore, Ronnie by Bertram Tanswell, Dr. Elliot by Alfred Shirley, Bassett by Cherry Hardy, and Hester by Marjorie Mott. A Bill of Divorcement was presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here is Roger Pryor with a word about next week's play.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, the Theatre Guild on the Air journeys to Chicago with our entire cast, where we'll present our play at the Medina Temple before an audience of over 4,000. For our Chicago production, we have selected Clifford Odette's famous play, Golden Boy, starring Dana Andrews, popular motion picture actor, June Havoc, star of the Broadway production Dream Girl, Sam Levine, Alan Baxter, now co-starring in The Voice of the Turtle, and a distinguished cast.
Remember, next week, Golden Boy, starring Dana Andrews, Gene Havoc, Sam Levine, and Alan Baxter. And remember, too, that the trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality.
Today, Sunday, December 1st, is the second annual Disabled American Veterans Day. Each year, the first Sunday in December is observed as DAV Day because it's the anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor. That was the day on which American fighters of World War II began to sacrifice their lives, their limbs, and their health to defend our country. The DAV is chartered by Congress to serve disabled veterans, and it needs the active support of every American in its program to restore the handicapped ex-servicemen to productive civilian life. Help in whatever way you can. Contribute to the Disabled American Veterans, 41 East 42nd Street, New York City.
The Theatre Guild on the Air is under the supervision of Lawrence Langner and Teresa Helburn, with Homer Fickett, director, Carol Irwin, production executive, and our Minor Marshall, executive director of the radio department. Music was composed and conducted by Harold Levy, and the play was adapted by Kenyon Nicholson. Your announcer, Norman Brokenshire. The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next Sunday at the same time.
This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.